All right, here we go. Good morning, everyone. Good morning afresh. If you haven't, if you haven't heard me say good morning, you were very late, and then you're still welcome. I'm just kidding. It is, as I said earlier, it's lovely to be back here with you guys, and especially around a topic that I think is very important for us to hear and release, formed by forgiveness and shaped to forgive. And I am especially thankful to be here to talk about this topic, where I think it's one that we all constantly are facing in our lives, in our daily rhythms of lives. But as a church now, we're nearing the end, and I say we because I've been following along on YouTube for the series just to stay on top of it and have this journey with you. Having had the privilege of doing an introductory to this series, and it's been good. Now, the Lord's Prayer is a prayer that's familiar to many of us, and I think the wonderful thing is that it has been prayed for generations and generations, and hopefully will be for many after. So let's read together this prayer, the whole bit prayer, and then we'll get to our bit that we're going to focus on this morning. So it should be on the screen, and you're welcome to read along. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Amen. How beautiful. And this is where we are. The last couple of weeks, we spent some time on this. And for a few weeks now, we've looked at words that connect to the essence of different parts of this prayer. So this slide is something you'll have seen over the last couple of weeks. There's a couple of words we're now at release. We're going to spend some time on that. And then next week, Lorraine will lead us towards stand. And then we'll have something, some words that gives us the essence of the different parts of this prayer. Now, like I said, I've listened along, and thank you, Andrew and David, for your build-up to where we are now. But the word that captures today's part of the Lord's Prayer is release. Now, luckily, you got the condensed version with the balloons. I'm not going to hand out any balloons. You're welcome to have one here in front if you want one later. But I think we're going to do it a little bit, going to go a little bit deeper on this word release. And I think what we'll find with these words is it's not just something that we say, but it is something that forms us as we pray it. So that's where we're heading at in terms of the Lord's Prayer, that it's not just words that we're saying, but as we're saying these words continuously, as it has been said for generations, these words will start to form us as well, as individuals and as a collective, as a body. Now, just in case you thought I'd forgotten, here is an overview of our journey, some markers for our journey together this morning. And we're going to visit these 5 points. So you can just quickly give me the next slide there, please. Thank you. So these are the 5 points that we're going to be visiting this morning on our journey together. And you'll have seen it's 5 we points. Although forgiveness is very much an individual thing, I don't think it's a private thing. And it's something, like I said, individually, but also as a collective that is important to us. So first, we're going to see we receive. Then we're going to go to we remember. Third, we release. Fourth, we align. And finally, we become. So we're going to end our journey today together as people who become something, hopefully. And I'm excited to take this journey with you this morning. So let's get into it. Now, every time you pray, forgive us our debts. And it's just important to note that in Matthew, it says, forgive us our debts. Where in the Gospel of Luke, he uses the word sins. So just to kind of put it in perspective for you. So because it is a financial word, but it's talking about the debt that we have in sin. And we'll get a little to that a little bit later. But every time we say, forgive us our debts, we also have to, as we also have forgiven our debtors, we aren't simply asking God for something. Okay, when we ask God, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, we're not just asking him something. In essence, what we're doing is we're placing our hearts in front of God and saying to God, do something in me here. So I'm not just asking to receive. I'm laying my heart before the Lord and saying, do something in me here. And if we're honest, this is where the prayer becomes a little bit uncomfortable. Because I'm all for the receiving part of the forgiveness one, right? I'm well aware of the receiving need that I have. But when it comes to the releasing part, that's where it becomes difficult and uncomfortable. It's one thing to ask God to release us, but it's a whole different thing becoming people who release other people. Right? Okay, let's go. Let's have the pigeon talk real quickly. I'm going to throw stuff in your direction, mainly words and questions, right? Who of you have seen a pigeon walk? Right? They've got a bit of a yes, 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 right? So if I throw something your way and I ask you for a response, give me a bit of a pigeon. Okay, let's just try that again. So everybody, are you down to this? Give me a pigeon. Yes. Right, brilliant. I can see there's some of those stiff-necked pigeons as well. Those big ones you get in London, I've seen them. Don't worry, it's fine. Okay, so we're asking God to do something in us, in taking us from becoming people who just receive to also release. Now, I don't know if cigarette packets, now I bet none of you thought you were going to be talking about cigarettes coming here this morning, but I don't know if cigarette packets in the UK also come with a warning label. It says something along the lines of, this thing could kill you. Yeah. And I've got a friend who has a thing that he says the Bible should come with a similar warning that says, if you read this book, your life will change forever. Right? And I think this prayer is dangerous in the same way, in that if you pray it honestly, it will change you. If we honestly pray this prayer, it will change us forever. Right? So there's the warning. This prayer will change your life. And especially this little verse that we're doing today is one that if we take it seriously, it's going to free you up. It's going to make you lighter. It's not going to be easy. Ask someone who's been trying to get lighter, right? So but it's going to be worth it. And I think that's perhaps exactly why Jesus is teaching us how to pray in this manner, because it's life-changing. Now, Jesus begins with these words, forgive us our debts. And I think this tells us something foundational about this prayer, in that we do not begin in a position of strength or performance. We begin in a position of need. And I think it's a good reminder that we don't outgrow our need for grace. And I don't think we ever graduate from forgiveness. If you have reached that stage, please, you know, come and tell me afterwards how you did it. But for me, I'm constantly aware of my need for grace, my need for forgiveness, my need for God's mercy. And prayer continuously brings us back to this grounding reality that I am a debtor in need of mercy. Now, this is not meant to crush us. It's meant to center us. Okay? This reality that I'm constantly in need of God's grace is not something that should intimidate us or make us feel less than. It's supposed to center us in that we live with an awareness of our need for mercy. We stop pretending and performing. If we are aware of our need for mercy, we come honestly before God, and every time we pray this line, we humble ourselves and we confess our need, and it recenters our lives on God's grace. Does that make sense? All right. Now, over time, what happens is this prayer starts to shape us into people who daily depends on God's release. Now, some of you will start seeing where I'm going with this. Okay? When we come to our release bit later on, we're going to go back to this first bit, where it's dependent on God's release. And we grow aware of that, the need for that daily release from God. And when we pray, forgive us, we're not speaking into uncertainty either. We're stepping into a reality that's already secured through Christ. Because at the cross, our debt is not ignored, it's not minimized, but it is seriously dealt with and dealt with fully. Now, this means we're not begging a reluctant God. What we're doing is we're returning to a gracious Father. And that's a whole, it just changes everything. In this perspective, we're not begging God for his forgiveness. We're coming to a gracious and a loving Father, and we receive a debt that is already paid, forgiveness for that debt. Now, prayer doesn't simply remind us of forgiveness. It anchors us in this truth again and again, in this good news. We need that anchoring because as people, we forget and we drift. And we get to a place where we constantly believe that I, Louis, need to earn God's grace again. That in some way or shape or form, I need to earn God's grace again. And every time we pray, we return to the truth that this debt has already been paid. Grace has been given. So in that sense, we don't move on from the gospel. We return to it every time that we pray this prayer. Beg your pardon. Then the prayer turns outwards. And this is where it gets interesting. As we also have forgiven our debtors. Oh, I could have done without that line. Hey? If ever there was a little excessive bit in a prayer, that would have been it. If it was up to me. And here is where Jesus does something profound. He connects receiving forgiveness with giving it out. How uncomfortable. And in fact, throughout Jesus' teaching, forgiveness is at the center of his message. If we look at all of Jesus' teaching, forgiveness is the one thing. And that's a nice thing as well. We find this prayer in the Sermon of the Mount, on the Mount, and it's right in the middle of the sermon, and this prayer is right in the middle of this section, and the forgiveness bit's right in the middle of that. So we're very much at the center of the center of the center of the center, if that tracks. And what Jesus is doing is announcing that God is forgiving humanity for its long history of sin and violence and greed, and the list goes on and on. And then he calls his followers to do the same. And that's the uncomfortable bit. Oftentimes, we're comfortable with Jesus forgiving us our debts. But when we need to do the releasing bit, that's when it gets tough. And why? Because why does Jesus tell his followers to do this? Because he knows something about the human heart. Our desire for revenge keeps the cycle of pain going and going and going. Hurt leads to hurt. And how's this for a sentence in the English language? Hurt people hurt people. I'm going to let you sit with that for a moment. Hurt people hurt people. Wounds lead to wound. And unless something interrupts this cycle, it will continue forever and ever and ever. And it will not just continue throughout your lifetime, but that of your kids and your grandchildren and their kids and their, and it'll continue and continue and continue. So Jesus teaches that forgiveness begins by naming the wrong. It's not pretending that it didn't happen, and it's not minimizing the pain, right? And I think that's important to you. But it is choosing not to seek vengeance and releasing our right to get even. That's awkward. Hey? Because that's the one thing I want to hold on to. Somebody wronged me, and my goodness, you're going to get some. Right? That's the human way. And God says, no, release. Hey? Release. Release of that right to get even. And even more radically, we see in Matthew 5, and this, I can just imagine the first people who heard this, how their brains must have been coming out their ears. Love your enemies. And pray for those who persecute you. My word. These were people who were waiting for a Messiah to come and get those bad people who've been persecuting them, get them and let them have theirs. And now they get a Savior who says, love them and pray for them, these people who persecute you. And I just have to say, it's not natural. And it requires something deeper. It requires a transformed heart. Remember we said this prayer, if you continue to pray this, it's going to change you forever. And that changes what we need if we want to follow Jesus. Now this is where the most helpful image for me comes in. Forgiveness is like breathing. This is where the whole balloon thing comes in this morning. Forgiveness is like breathing. In order to truly receive and take in God's forgiveness, you also need to get the habit of giving it out. The two belong together. They don't go just the one or the other, right? Let's just quickly do it together. Let's take a deep breath. Okay, now another. And one more? Who's uncomfortable, right? Let it out, please. That's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to get God's grace, but it's not moving through me. It's not flowing through me. The two belong together. You cannot keep breathing in without breathing out. And if you try, you will suffocate eventually, right? It's going to be bad for your health. And in the same way, if we try to receive God's forgiveness without extending it to others, something in our spiritual life becomes stuck, and it becomes restricted and even unhealthy. And when we receive and release, something begins to flow. Grace flows in, and grace flows out. There's a rhythm to this. It's like breathing. And eventually, how many of you have been, prior to coming here this morning, have been really focused on your breathing? Like, okay, remember to take one in, okay, and out. It's something that we do naturally because it becomes a part of us. Like, it's part of our survival, and grace is similar to this. It flows in, and it flows out if we live in that rhythm of Jesus' example. Now, this is exactly what Jesus gets to in Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15, just after the Lord's Prayer, which is a really uncomfortable bit in the Bible, where he says that if we forgive others, our Father will forgive us. But if we do not forgive others, then our Father will not forgive us. Wait, what now? I'm in trouble, right? Everybody uncomfortable with that? Like, that's a clause that I would not want in there. And what Jesus is, these are not random or even harsh words. What he's describing is the reality about forgiveness. Forgiveness is a lived relational reality. It is something that we participate in. We cannot close ourselves off to others and remain open to God. Okay? Everybody, let's do this real quickly. Close it, a real tight fist. Okay, now if I start throwing around 100-pound notes, who of you are going to be able to catch it? I mean, you can try it like this, I guess, but it's going to be really tough. Okay? To be able to get something, you need to open up a mouth. And also, if you open up your hand, everybody open hands. Okay. Now I can take as well as I give. Right? But that's how it works. I can't just do the one and ignore the other. Okay. Prayer is not just asking, it's aligning. It aligns our hearts with God's mercy and our lives with God's grace. That's what's happening when we start living in this rhythm. It's aligning our hearts with God's mercy and our lives with God's grace. Now, Jesus makes this even clearer than I ever could. He tells a parable. You all will know that Jesus was a great storyteller. He tells a parable in Matthew 18 about a servant who is forgiven an enormous unpayable debt. Think silly money. This guy could not pay this money back, and it was completely beyond his ability to repay. And he's released, he's set free, and then moments later, he goes out and he refuses to give forgiveness to somebody who owes him a much smaller amount. And the point here is striking. He did not understand the mercy that he just received. Can you imagine if you have, and I guess some of you here this morning or some of you listening along will have debt that you need to pay off. And if somebody tells you, you're released, it's fine, we wrote it off. The feeling of relief, and then somebody who owes you a fiver comes and you're like, right? Can you imagine the contradiction? He did not understand the mercy that he received. Because if he had, he would have reshaped the way that he treated others, right? Now imagine praying the Lord's Prayer while living like that. Imagine praying this prayer and refusing, asking God for his forgiveness while refusing to give it. And I think what you'll find is the prayer itself will not let us stay comfortable in this contradiction. The Spirit itself will make you uncomfortable on your inside because it exposes what we're holding on to. And this is where this becomes deeply personal. Because when we pray, as we forgive our debtors, we are invited to ask, is there somebody whose debt I'm still holding on to? And this is the invitation that I want to give to you this morning, to ask you this question. Is there somebody whose debt you're still holding on to? A name, a face, or a memory? And perhaps it's something that still hurts, right? Maybe it's not something that you've been carrying for years. Maybe it's something that happened recently. It still hurts. It's still raw. that perhaps truthfully you feel justified in holding on to it because it still hurts. But what Jesus does is he gently invites us to consider what this is doing to your heart. Because this is why forgiveness is ultimately about formation and not about fairness. To some extent, it's about fairness, but mostly it's about formation. It's about who we are becoming as we hold on. About who we are becoming when we're not releasing. Right? I'm thinking back of some of you who sat like this morning when I was, you know, there's people around you sitting like this waiting for this situation to escalate to bursting point. Because you're somehow stuck and it's restricted. What's happening to your heart? Because the longer we hold on to debt, the more it shapes us, not them, us. This is, like I said, this is why forgiveness is about formation. What happens is when we realize that Scripture says, forgive one another as Christ God forgave you, the source of our forgiveness towards others, we realize it's not their behavior, but it's God's grace towards us. That's the source of our forgiveness. And then when that begins to take root in our lives, it reshapes our relationships, our marriages, our friendships, our church community, and grace starts to flow where once there was tension, bitterness, and distance. Now, I'm going to tell you a candle story, one out of my own life. When I was in my early 20s, I was part of a men's home group. Now, to be fair, at 21-ish, I was one of the older men there. So to call it a men's group, we were fast and loose with the definition. And one evening we got there, and we were talking about, you're going to guess it, it's going to be forgiveness, right? So we were talking about forgiveness, and I wasn't exactly in a forgiving mood that evening. And I'm going to tell you why. There was a girl. There's always a girl, right? Especially in your early 20s. But there was a girl, and she had broken up with me on Valentine's Day. I know, right? Let's just let that sink in for a moment. I can feel you're on my side of this story. I'm just kidding. I let go of it long time ago. But at the time, I felt like it was a really big deal. And I was hurt, and I felt frustrated. And honestly, I just didn't want to let it go. It was not that I couldn't let it go. I was just not there. I didn't want to have it. I was like, no, I'm going to fester with this for a little bit. And this guy keeps talking about forgiveness. And you can imagine, eventually I got a little bit frustrated. So I asked, how do you forgive somebody that doesn't feel like they did anything wrong? Because that was my frustration. While I was sitting there festering with my anger, she was skipping and jumping and, you know, doing her thing, I guess. I don't know, I wasn't there. But she was living freely and enjoying her life, and I was sitting there, oh my goodness. So I asked, genuinely, how do you forgive someone when they don't think they did something wrong? You're not going to believe me, guys. What he said is, you just let it go and move on. And I remember thinking, well, that's not really helpful at all. Thanks, bud. You know, you've got a firm grip on the obvious. What are you talking about? You know, just let it go. So being the persistent little fellow that I am, I asked it again and again and again and again. And eventually, he didn't answer me with the, I don't know, I guess all the frozen people are at their different groups, but Elsa, let it go, didn't work for me, right? So I asked him again, and he didn't answer me. Instead, what he did is he picked up this massive candle that was sitting on the table near us, and he gave it to me, and he said, give this to me. So I took the candle, and I held it out to him, and he said, no, thank you. Yeah, I know, it's awkward, right? So now I'm sitting there with this candle, and he's like, give it to me. And he says, no, thank you. And now I'm sitting there holding this candle, a little bit frustrated, wondering what is going on here. Like nothing is making sense. I need to let it go, and now I've got this big candle. What is going on? And finally, he took the candle, dropped it, and smashed it on the floor. And he said, put the candle down. And then he said something that has stuck with me and that I've shared with many people along the way. If you keep holding on to every candle that someone doesn't want back, you're going to become the candle guy, right? You're going to be the guy with all the candles, and you're not going to be able to do anything because you're carrying it all. Put the candle down. And that was my first real encounter with this rhythm that we're talking about today. Receive, release. And it wasn't easy, and if I'm honest, it took me a little bit longer than I'd like to admit, but I needed to start putting the candle down. And over time, I found freedom. And I mean, I found a beautiful wife, and she loves me on Valentine's Day and all the other ones. So there. But grace isn't something that we hold on to. It's something that we receive and we release. There's this rhythm. We receive and we release. Now, if we keep praying this prayer honestly and slowly, like I said, it will start to begin doing something in us. It softens those hard places and it loosens our grip on past hurt. And it exposes hidden bitterness. That's a fun thing as well. Those ones that you weren't even thinking about. If you pray this prayer slowly and diligently, you start, oh, what's this? That smells funny. I didn't know this was there. And there's some hidden bitterness that you weren't dealing with, but it was sitting there and festering. And then what it does, it invites us into freedom, and the kind of freedom that comes when we are no longer defined or controlled by what has been done to us. Now, this is an instant, and it's not easy, and sometimes this is a process that we'll have to return to again and again, and even that is fine. But what it is faithful, and as we pray for release, God forms us into people who release. As we pray for release, He is forming us into people who release. Now, in practical terms, this means beginning to let go of the right to revenge. That little bit that we love to hang on to. To stop rehearsing the offense in our minds and revisiting it and entrusting God, not in an act of weakness, but in an act of deep trust. We begin to say, this will not define me anymore. I will not carry this with me forever. Not because it's easy, but because my heart is being reshaped by grace. Now, friends, the Lord's Prayer is not just something that we recite. It's something that works on us and works in us. And if we do it right, works through us. Every time we pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, we are saying, God, release me again and do not leave my heart unchanged. I'm asking for God's release and I'm asking Him to not leave my heart unchanged. We are stepping into that rhythm of grace, receiving and releasing, receiving and releasing, breathing in and breathing out. How well-timed was that message? So this week, do not rush this line, I implore you. Sit with them, and when you come to the words, as we forgive, pause. Let it sit with you for a bit, and then ask, who do I need to release? What am I still holding on to that is busy shaping me where God is supposed to be shaping me? Where is my heart still tight? And then invite God to do His work in you. Now, you've heard Andrew and David, myself, say this a couple of times throughout this series, and I'm sure that Lorraine will remind us of this next week again. But this prayer is one that we learn off by heart, but also one that God uses to shape our hearts and our lives. So this slide is one that I hope you'll constantly see in the back of your mind, because it's a doing prayer. It's one that we participate in. Now let's just take a moment. I'm going to ask the band to come up in a moment as we pray. But let's just take a moment and close our eyes and pray together. Father, thank You that You are a God who releases us. Thank You that in Christ our debt is paid. Lord, we ask that You teach us to live in that unforced rhythm of grace. To receive Your forgiveness deeply and to release it freely. Lord, where we are holding on, help us to let go. Where we are closed, open us up again. Let us be free, Lord. Let this prayer not only be on our lips, but be alive in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.